Tim Kaine, Jr., Senator of Virginia.
What's your 20-30-second pitch for why I should vote for you November 6th?
The theme of my campaign is what I've tried to do my whole life working in Virginia as a civil rights lawyer and elected official. Build a Virginia that works for all. It's about Virginia, solving problems of Virginians and taking Virginia solutions to Washington. It's about work, the dignity of work, the most trained workforce, immigration reform, fair wages, fair taxes. And then it's got to work for all. The last two words of the Pledge of Allegiance, we're a commonwealth. That means a community, and we need leaders who know how to bring us together, not divide us.
And there are two other people on the ballot with you. What makes you different as voters who have not made up their minds try to figure out who to vote for?
Well, I think it really starts with just the very theme of the campaign. My theme is a Virginia that works for all. My principal opponent, Corey Stewart, chose a very different theme. Take back Virginia. Mine is upbeat, forward-looking, positive, and inclusive. His theme is backward-looking and angry. And I think I've chosen a theme that is consistent with who I am, how I've governed, and how I will govern. And he's chosen a theme consistent with who he is and how he would govern. As I talk to Virginians in every corner of this Commonwealth, and I've represented now my city or my Commonwealth, or now at the national level, I've been there 24 years, I see Virginians who want to move forward together, and I don't run into a lot of Virginians who really want to go backward.
When you're looking at this year and this election, how much of it is about Virginia and local issues as opposed to President Trump and national issues?
The national issues are important in the midterm. They definitely are. But one of the things we're noticing is that Virginians feel pretty good about the direction of the Commonwealth. There's a lot of things that we can do better. In fact, we can do better at everything we're doing, but they feel pretty good about the direction of the Commonwealth, and they're proud of the fact that we're becoming more economically dynamic, more socially inclusive, more focused on education, more politically competitive. I think they're more troubled by the direction of the nation under the administration right now. They have real concerns about division, divisive language. They have concerns about, you know, leadership that is not leadership that they would want their children to emulate or be like. And so I think that the example that the president is setting in some of his policies, they are a factor in the election. But my theme of Virginia that works for all is not really about the president. It's more about who we are, the direction that we're on, and certainly the desire to keep moving forward and not go backward.
It's very clear, obviously, from the last several weeks alone that it is pure majority rules now in the Senate in most cases. So you're in the minority. Would Virginia be better served by having someone in the majority?
You know, the Senate is an interesting place. For the Senate to work, because we have a 60-vote threshold, the Senate does legislation overwhelmingly only when they can find bipartisanship and bridge builders. That's what's needed in the Senate, is bridge builders. You got to get 60 votes to get most legislation done. Neither party has 60 nor is going to. And so in the Senate, the advantage is to people who know how to build bridges across aisles. During the Obama administration, we did 11 pieces of legislation that President Obama signed, important legislation on veterans unemployment and children's cancer research. But President Trump has signed 17 pieces of legislation that I've done. Veterans and military spouse unemployment, opioids, recognizing 400 years of African-American history in the United States. We put a lot of bills on the president's desk. In fact, he's going to sign an opioid bill next week that has three pieces of legislation that I wrote. So I think the key in the Senate works best with people who know how to build bridges across aisles to get to that 60-vote threshold. And I think I'm one of the best in the Senate at doing that, and that is to the advantage of Virginians. Choosing a more partisan person who couldn't reach across the aisle, who wants to go in and, quote, blow the place up, that's not the way to actually make the Senate work.
Republicans have complained that that's basically what Democrats did with the Kavanaugh nomination. So how would this go forward if you win and if Democrats manage to take back the Senate?
I don't think the Justice Kavanaugh was confirmed. The Republicans may not have liked the fact that some voted against him, but that's what advising consent means. And, you know, I treated that nomination like I treat any I studied the individual's record. I met with Judge Kavanaugh in my office. I watched the Judiciary Committee hearing, and I cast a vote, which is my right to do. And in fact, constitutionally, I'm supposed to exercise advice and consent in a careful way. So I don't buy the notion that they have reason to complain about it. The president's nominee was confirmed, and they can't complain that some voted no. When President Obama nominated Judge Garland for the Supreme Court, they wouldn't even do him the courtesy of meeting with him or holding a hearing or a vote.
What changes in the Senate if Democrats manage to pick up enough seats to take a majority?
Well, I think a couple of things do. We will have different committee chairs. We will set the agenda of committees. I think we will be able to exercise more effective oversight of the executive. I mean, the two main roles that we have are passing legislation and exercising oversight over the administration. Those are the two things we're supposed to do. I think we will have a better track record of putting meaningful bills on the president's desk. The president will have to decide whether to sign them or not. But comprehensive immigration reform, which we've tried to do for a very long time, is important. I think universal background checks to reduce gun violence is important. I think we could work together with the White House on an infrastructure bill to make investments in infrastructure that would be very helpful to Virginia. Because Democrats strongly believe in infrastructure investment, I think that would be important. So I think you'll see us putting bills on the president's desk that I think are the bills most likely to help Americans deal with the problems that they have. We won't be trying to slash Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security, which Leader McConnell said would be the Republican priority if they hold the majority. We won't be trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which is what Leader McConnell said would be a Republican priority. So I think you'd see us putting bills on the president's desk that were more likely to help Americans than hurt them.
On infrastructure, obviously, people listening to WTOP are most often sitting in traffic and angry at the infrastructure. So what could people look for in the next 6 years that you might be able to make a difference for them on Capitol Hill?
Well, it's been fun in my first year, even though I'm in my first term, even though I'm not on infrastructure, the core infrastructure committee. We have made meaningful progress. As governor, I worked on getting the rail to Dulles done to Wheelie Avenue Phase 1 as governor, but now as senator, I've been able to work to get the financing for Phase 2, and that's now under construction. Worked on other projects, the repair of the Memorial Bridge, improvements to the rail corridor between D.C. and Richmond, but we have a lot more work to do. President Trump has indicated that one of the things he wants to do after the midterms is work on an infrastructure bill. And if he's serious about that, if he really does, he's going to find an awful lot of people like us. I've been a governor working on infrastructure projects, both with the Bush administration and the Obama administration. And nothing I'd like more than to meaningfully work on infrastructure with the president. And that would be roads, bridges, ports, airports. But I'm also very focused on the need to build out a more vigorous broadband and telecom infrastructure in rural Virginia and rural America to make sure that those communities feel connected to the mainstream economy.
Metro, is PREA going to be renewed? Key funding for Metro?
I strongly believe that it will. We're having a discussion about Metro, the sort of governance and safety issues and funding. But Metro is, you know, one of the most heavily used transit systems in the United States. It is critical to making the D.C. metro area a livable area. And one thing I'm always struck by when I'm lobbying other members of Congress on metro issues, their staffs all use Metro. So there's not a single congressional office that doesn't have a direct personal stake in making sure that the metro system functions well, because it helps all the congressional office staff and so many others in the region.
How do you make sure you are continuing to represent the entire state? Obviously, there are some people who feel like they have a much easier way of accessing people like you than others. So how do you make sure you get to everyone and that you're standing up for what everyone out there is pushing for?
No, that's a really good question. I think that's the most fun part of the job and the most challenging part of the job. It's a big state. The needs of Northern Virginia are different than the needs of Appalachia, and that's different than the needs of the Eastern Shore. I live in Richmond, and I think I get a head start on it because I have represented my city and my Commonwealth and now my country for 24 years. I spent 8 years in local service representing Richmond in this metropolitan area, then 8 years at the state level as lieutenant governor and governor, representing every corner of the Commonwealth. And I really put a high priority on not just focusing on, you know, the Richmond area where I live. My Senate office, we have 6 offices around the state where we interact with constituents in every region. And we're always keeping our own internal sort of score sheet of what things are we doing that touch every region of the Commonwealth. We challenge ourselves that way to make sure that we're not just making a meaningful impact in a few of the regions of the state, but that we're doing it in every region.
Are there any other issues that have come up during the campaign or from some of that constituent feedback that we didn't talk about that you'd like to make a difference on in the next Congress?
Well, in the most recent committee that I've been added to is Health, Education, Labor, Pension. So I'm on the Armed Services Committee, and I focus heavily on that priority, which matters so much to Virginians. We're the most militarily connected of all the states. So whether it's building up to a 355-ship Navy or strategies to deal with military or veterans unemployment, that's really important. But more recently, I've been added to the Health, Education, Labor, Pension Committee. So all of healthcare, all of education, workforce issues, and pension issues. And the issue that I hear about probably most commonly around Virginia is healthcare. And what people want is they want cost control and they want more options. So they definitely want the Trump administration to stop their admitted efforts to sabotage the Affordable Care Act. And this is an area of great difference between my opponent and me. I want to preserve the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid, and he wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act and dramatically cut Medicaid funding. So I don't think we need to sabotage the Affordable Care Act, but I also think we need to move forward. I have a proposal called Medicare X that would direct Medicare to offer an insurance policy for sale to working age people on the health insurance exchanges. People would have to pay a premium for it, but because Medicare doesn't have to collect a profit, return to shareholders, pay taxes, pay fancy salaries, it would be a very cost-effective policy. And we would put that on the exchange beginning in rural America, but then soon in, on every exchange, so that every consumer would have one more option, in terms of healthcare coverage that would be more affordable and that would have important protection for pre-existing condition, protections against discrimination based on gender, effective negotiation for the price of prescription drugs.
Do you believe some of the polls in this race that have suggested you have a gigantic lead, and how confident are you you're going to win on November 6th?
I tell people polls are about preferences, but elections are about energy. So I have liked polls that I've seen, but that's not the same thing as the energy that you need to win an election. So in the last weeks, we're really working hard to make sure that what we see in the polls is actually going to translate into energetic participation, early voting, voting on November 6th. We like the energy that we see out there among our volunteers. We like what we're seeing among people in terms of voter registration stats and early voting participation. But one of my good friends who's a Virginia congressman, Bobby Scott, says there's only 2 ways to run a race: run unopposed or run scared. And put me in the run scared category until the polls close on November 6th.